Thank you. It's good to be here. Just let me get organized. I'm an old guy. I was asked to talk about our ministry and what we're doing in the Ukraine, but your pastor insisted that I preach a bit of a sermon. I'm not a preacher. It would be like going to my cardiologist and asking him to pull a tooth. But God did use a donkey to deliver a message, and so he can do that again today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the praise and worship that we had this morning. Lord, it was so good. It was so good. Father, just help me to be the conduit of the message that you want these folks to hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I noticed that there's a lot of senior saints here. And I don't mean that you're old. What I mean is that you are well mature and along in your Christian walk. So for me to be preaching to you would be like me telling Wayne Gretzky how he should have played hockey. The first thing I want to do is to introduce you to an individual that I'll be talking about during the sermonette, I guess, and later on. And his name is Bill Kapitaniuk. Bill was born in Athabasca area in about 1928. He's 95 years old now. He did take some high school in Athabasca, but at a young age, he gave his life to the Lord at age 8. And as he was getting older, he had an urgency to warn people about hell. Sometimes I don't have that urgency. He had an urgency. And if he's going to tell people how to escape the wrath to come, he had to be trained. So he went to Bible school. He finished his high school at Prairie Bible Institute and then took his 4 years of Bible school there as well. He settled in France when he went over into Europe with Slavic Gospel Association, but his ministry was in behind the Iron Curtain of the Soviet Union. Is there anybody here who does not understand that term, Iron Curtain or Soviet Union? I'll be happy to explain. Anyway, that's where his mission was. And one day, while he was in one of the churches, I don't know if it was in Poland or Ukraine, a little boy came up to him and said, "Wojku, uncle, did you bring us any crumbs?" He's not asking for money. He's not asking for candy. He's asking for crumbs. "What do you mean? Did you bring us at least a Gospel of John?" That was one of those aha moments for Mr. Kapitaniuk. And that's when he decided to start printing, and he's been printing ever since. He's 95 years old now. He's back in France. His second wife died as well as his first wife. He's 95 years old. He still puts in a 4-hour day, 5 days a week. I wanted to talk today about something it really concerns me. And if this doesn't apply to you, you can just ignore it, okay? But it really concerns me and my walk with the Lord. I guess what it is Christianity seems to be losing ground in its competition with the world. I realize, you know, what Matthew 10:13 says about the narrow and the broad gates. I get that. I really get that. But we have God on our side. He is all powerful. And yet we seem to be losing ground. There doesn't seem to be much of a difference between a Christian and a person of the world anymore. And again, if it doesn't apply to you, that's fine. I'm mostly talking about me. Christians rarely used to get and be divorced. I am a victim of divorce. Sports rival church attendance. I plead guilty to that as well. Did I really think that hockey was more important for my sons than being in church? So I have to ask myself, and I do this often, am I all in? Am I all in for the Lord? Not just a little bit in, but am I all in? Am I doing the Lord's will with my time, my resources, my talents, and my money? Am I using them to bring glory to God and furthering His kingdom? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, that those of us who live should no longer live for ourselves. But for Him who died for them and was raised again. And the only thing that I can expound on that is just to repeat it. And He died for all, that those of us who live should no longer live for ourselves. So what do I have to change? Don't we want to sing in truth? I'm just going to put this down a little bit. Right here? Oh, right here. Oh. Wonderful. I want to be able to sing in truth. Jesus is Lord of all. I want to sing, be able to sing in truth. I surrender all. I ran this by my pastor, Brendan Peters in Boyle. He started singing, I surrender some. I hadn't heard that before. That was a good one. Shouldn't we be able to separate our wants from our needs? To be able to supply somebody else's needs? Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Now somebody might say, well, you're taking that out of context. It is slightly out of context, but it still applies. Freely you have received, freely give. That is a decision that we as individuals have to make. Are we willing to give up on exotic vacations, newer golf clubs, new cupboards, newer vehicle to be able to do something for the least of these, as found in Matthew 25, 34 to 40. By the way, is anybody taking notes? If you're taking notes, I can repeat the references. If you're not taking notes, that's fine. Am I willing to relocate or change careers for the furthering of God's kingdom? And I was challenged with this at Bible school. I did go 1 year to Bible school, mainly because my fiance was there in PBI. But it did come where I had to ask the Lord or talk to the Lord, am I willing to give up the most wonderful possession I had, and that was my dad's homestead. I started paying for it when I was 14 years old, and that was the, I thought, this is, if I have that homestead, I have everything. Like, I don't need anything else after that. And it came to Bible school time when I had to tell the Lord, if you really want to take it, you can have it. He didn't take it yet, but it still is his. We have examples in the Bible of believers who were all in. Did they get their feet dirty? Yeah, sometimes they didn't. They shook it off, but they continued on. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Abraham was willing to go to a land he didn't even know he was going to. Joseph ran from temptation. Daniel risked a dinner with the lions. His three companions risked the fiery furnace. More recent example, Mark Maxwell. I don't know if you folks know Mark Maxwell of PBI. Left a lucrative financial job. And came back and is now the president of Prairie Bible Institute. Bill Kapitaniak. And like I said, at a very young age, he felt that urge he had to warn people. With his talents and the type of man he is, and the only way I could describe him, and when I used to get speaking engagements for him, I said, he's a cross between Sean Connery and the Apostle Paul. He had this a thing about him. If he was driving up to a Polish a border guard station, and they would say, you can't bring that into the country. Why not? And that would usually take them off guard. He's that kind of a guy. He gets things done. Luke 21, 1-4 tells us the story of the widow's two small coins. She gave all she had. An elderly lady at one church that Bill and I visited asked us to wait after the service. So we waited for about an hour. She returned with two envelopes, each containing $500. And she did not look like she could afford to give a gift of $1,000. And I was reluctant in taking it. But she insisted. I was reluctant to take it. In our conversation, she mentioned a printing ministry that her and her late husband were involved in at one time. They were running low on expenses. So in order to print more of what they were printing, they looked at each other and decided to sell their wedding rings. A cheap little plastic band would do just as well. That's the kind of thing that I'm looking at here, is people that are all in. All the disciples, except one, plus hundreds and hundreds of early Christians, were called to surrender their lives. And I also think, and that's being all in. I think of those roughly 24 Coptic Christians that were rounded up in Libya by the terrorists, and I don't know if they were shot or if they were beheaded, but one by one, they were asked to deny Christ, and they refused, and they were killed, one by one. That is being all in. But that's not the end of the story, because when they went through the 24, there was one more who was not a Coptic Christian. And the terrorist said, hey, all you got to do is just say, hey, I'm not one of them, and you can go. After witnessing what he just witnessed, he said, their God is my God. And he knew at that moment that he was going to be gone. That is being all in. Oh, yes. And the other one I wanted to talk about was Jim Elliot, and four other missionary men who were called to surrender their lives trying to evangelize a remote tribe. But their death was not in vain, as some of the wives returned to that tribe later, which in short demonstrated to the tribe God's unconditional love. A large percentage of that tribe gave their hearts to Jesus. When those five men, before they died, when they were confronted, they had a firearm, and they chose not to use it. They were all in. These men gave up their tomorrows, all their dreams, all their possessions, and all their lives. Their wives gave up their husbands. Their children gave up their fathers. God is still looking for men and women who are all in. How much am I willing to give? How much are we willing to give of our time, of our talents, of our resources, and yes, our money? Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So guess what? It's not our money. It is not our resources. It is all His. It's not ours. It's all His. It's about ownership or stewardship. A non-Christian man once told me, if you hang on to it, you will lose it. If you give it away, you will get it back. Somebody must have read to him Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-9, God loves a cheerful giver. And I remember at those conferences in Prairie Bible Institute, they'd have these big conferences. And before they would take the offering, Mr. Maxwell Sr. would stand at the pulpit and say, God loves an hilarious giver. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. God loves an hilarious giver. Can we be that hilarious giver? We can go on and on with these examples and find also about the Macedonians. The Macedonians were begging to be a part and participate in the support of the saints. They were begging. They were begging to be a part of it. Yes, we want to support the saints. Please let us support the saints. You'll see that in 2 Corinthians 8:1-4. Pardon me. Let me summarize this whole message. are we all in for the Lord? We are not the Bible-believing society we used to be. Many of us have picked up on what the world does, and we sort of copy it. Are we managing well what God has entrusted to us? Are we in an ownership role, or should we be in a stewardship role? Can we differentiate between our wants and needs? Can we cultivate an attitude, an urgency to evangelize and warn people about hell? What am I willing to give up for the glory of God? How many of you have heard of R.G. Letourneau? He was a businessman, and he was an inventor, and he was a builder of big machines that moved dirt. For him, 10% was a starting point. He had a conversation with his wife, and his wife was very concerned about all the money that they were about to make. He said, okay, here's what I'll do. He said, we'll set up a foundation, and we'll put 90% of our company stocks in that foundation. And he thought that was the end of it. And his wife still looked perplexed. So he said, what? Well, with all this money that's going to be coming in, and the most we've ever spent on any one thing is about $5,000, okay. Then he figured out what she was doing. So he said, okay, we will also put 90% of our income into the foundation as well, a Christian foundation that supports Christian work. 90%. We have a hard time getting the 10%. 90%. I was going to stop here, but this morning I woke up at 2:30, and I was restless. And I believe it's the Lord that brought this to my mind, because I'm not that sharp. I'm not a very bright bulb in the scoreboard. If the Lord was to come today, if he came tonight, how much money would be in your savings account, checking account, GIC, RRSP, tax-free savings account, stocks and bonds that could have been used for God's work? And what the Lord showed me this morning when I laid in bed, and I wasn't even going to use this. About the three servants that were given those talents. And you probably all know the story, so I won't get into it. The one who buried it. The one who buried it. Now, I've heard people even use this a passage about those talents. And they use it as a sign, well, yeah, God wants us to invest money. And it's okay to, you know, have stocks and bonds. And it is, and so on and so forth. But Jesus was using something that the world knew about, and that was commerce. But he was trying to come up with a spiritual truth. That money that was buried, and Jesus is going to come back. There's no doubt about that. And how much money have we buried in bank accounts and so forth? that when we're gone from this earth, non-Christians will be using that money. And I'm going to end it there because my ending was thrown out of whack when I woke up early this morning. And I'm not saying that you folks are bad. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about me. What do I have to change before I'm all in? So are we all in? You have to answer that question on your own. That is something between you and the Lord. It's not between you and your pastor. It's not between you and me. It's something that you have to come up with. That is something that you have to decide. That is something you have to work out with the Lord. And if he convicts you to make changes, then do so. And again, like I said, if this doesn't apply to you, well, then you're off the hook. Okay. I forgot my watch at home, so I have a deal with the pastor. He tells me when I got 5 minutes left. I don't hear so well. So I may go on a little long. No, I'll do this quickly. Okay, what are we doing in Ukraine? We are printing the Action Bible New Testament. We're printing it in Ukraine, even while the war is going on, and we're printing it for the Ukrainian children there. So far, we have printed 600,000 and distributed most of them. Our goal is 4 million, because that's roughly how many school-aged children there are in the Ukraine. We have just completed our seventh edition, so now we have printed 700,000 Action Bible New Testaments there in Ukraine. To buy them here in North America, they're up anywhere from $25 to $30. There in Ukraine, we can print them for $2.70 a piece, roughly the price of a cup of coffee. And this project is a team. Oh, by the way, yes, and I shouldn't forget this. They are being printed in the city of Lutsk on or in a printing plant that Bill Kapitaniuk built in 1993. And he said to me at one time before this project came on, he said, God did not spend $1 million to build that plant to let it sit and not do anything. Right now, because of the war, there is such a hunger for the word, that printing plant is just going and going and going and going. There are Bibles and Bibles. In a war-torn situation, your fields are ripe for the harvest. And something I was going to say, if you don't want persecution, don't pray for revival. It's a very simple ministry. There's about five partners. There is, of course, the printing plant in Lutsk. There is Mission Eurasia Canada. There is Mission Eurasia International. I call it international. They're in the States. There is David C. Cook. They print a lot of Sunday school papers, and that they own a copyright to it, and they very graciously, for a very small amount, let us use their copyright. And then the fifth group is a bunch of guys like myself, farmers, retired guys, and we raise money. We go to church. We've never been asked to preach before, so this was kind of like a for me. But we normally talk about the project. I have some of those Bibles on the table. If you want to read the stories about Bill Kapitaniuk, there are two books out there, one, God's Printer for Poland, God's Printer for Ukraine. You want to see some hair-raising stuff. You want to see God at work. There are still miracles done today. It's just okay. I only use this term awesome when I talk about God, because only God is awesome. That pie is not awesome. It was pretty good, but it's not awesome. From Boyle, most of us are from Boyle. We're not sitting around waiting for the money to come in. We have rolled up our sleeves and we look for donations of scrap metal. So now, are we going to make a lot of money doing that? No. But it's just that we can't sit still and we want to help out the ministry. So we've been doing that. We don't have, and we don't run on an expense account. Everything comes out of our own pockets, our own fuel, our own tools, our own sawzall blades, our own grinding discs, and that sort of thing. We are also planning 2 yard sales at the Gateway Community Church in Boyle, one on the May long weekend and one on the September long weekend. We had one on the September long weekend last year, and we were there for 5 days, so about 50 hours. We were making enough money every hour to print 52 of those Action Bibles. That is a miracle, because we never had a yard sale before. I didn't even know what a yard sale looked like. We also do a bike-a-thon after the September long weekend. Yeah, we operate on our own resources. They use their own vehicles and so on and so forth. There's no expense accounts. They pay their own way. They are true volunteers. And by the way, there is no administration taken off your gift. Every one of your dollars goes to print a Bibles. Any questions before I leave? It's all yours. Thank you. Thank you very much.